You are tuned to Radio Ukraine International. Next in line is Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
Pro-Russian separatists keep shelling the Ukrainian positions in Donbas along the whole contact line in Donetsk, Luhansk and Mariupol directions. During the past week, the enemy forces increasingly used big-caliber mortars, grenade launchers and various types of infantry weapons. Twice a week, they shelled the residential areas in the villages of Marienka and Zaitseve, Donetsk region. Fortunately, no casualties were reported. Meanwhile, Kyiv is ready for a prisoner swap with the self-proclaimed Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics, but only in compliance with all statutes of the Ukrainian law. That was disclosed by Irina Gerasimenko, Ukraine's envoy to the contact group's humanitarian subgroup on Donbas settlement. Ukraine is ready to hand over those individuals whom it will be possible to release under the Ukrainian legislation where no violations of our legislation or our legal procedures are involved, she said. Gerasimenko also added that the Ukrainian side is looking into different mechanisms for prisoner release. Gerasimenko also cited data by the Security Service of Ukraine, under which 157 Ukrainians are held prisoners in the self-proclaimed Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics. First of all, these are the military, she added. Meanwhile, Russian authorities in Crimea have intensified prosecution of Crimean Tatars, reads the latest statement issued by Human Rights Watch. This is done with the apparent goal of completely silencing dissent on the peninsula. The New York-based rights group said that Russian authorities and their proxies have subjected members of the Crimean Tatar community and their supporters, including journalists, bloggers, activists, and others, to harassment, intimidation, threats, intrusive and unlawful searches of their homes, physical attacks, and enforced disappearances. The report adds that Crimean Tatar media and organizations that criticized Russia's actions in Crimea have been banned, including the Mejlis, the Crimean Tatar self-governing body. In October 2017, Human Rights Watch researchers in Crimea documented multiple criminal prosecutions for separatism against Crimean Tatars who had criticized Russia's actions in Crimea, as well as new and ongoing baseless terrorism-related prosecutions. Researchers also documented detention and fines for Crimean Tatars who peacefully staged single-person pickets to protest against the arrest and prosecution of other Tatars. Mustafa Jemilev, the leader of the Crimean Tatar people, the commissioner of the President of Ukraine for the Affairs of Crimean Tatars, comments.
By its actions over the past 3.5 years, the Russian Federation violated all international norms and treaties. This includes grave violation of human rights, the terrible ecological damage to the Crimean region. Indigenous pro-Ukrainian population of Crimea is massively replaced by the occupation authorities with natural Russians, as they call them.
Said Mustafa Jemilev.
You are listening to Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
The renewed resolution on human rights violations in the occupied Crimea aims to make Russia, as an occupant state, stop massive violations of human rights and fundamental freedoms, according to the press service of Ukraine's foreign ministry. On Tuesday, the Third Committee of the UN General Assembly supported the draft resolution Situation on Human Rights in the Autonomous Republic of Crimea and the city of Sevastopol. The document was supported by the representatives of 71 states, 77 abstained, 25, including the Russian Federation, voted against. The resolution condemns the violations and restrictions of human rights, discrimination against Crimean Tatars, Ukrainians, and representatives of other ethnic and religious groups by Russian occupiers. It also condemns the application of the Russian legislation in the annexed territory and the forced quit of Ukrainian citizenship for a Russian one. The draft resolution contains a requirement for Russia to comply with the decision of the UN International Court of Justice to restore the rights and freedoms of Ukrainian citizens on the peninsula, and a call to provide the educational process in the Ukrainian and Crimean Tatar languages. In addition, the document urges to immediately cancel the decision where the Majlis of the Crimean Tatar people is recognized as an extremist organization, as well as the ban on its activities. There is also a provision calling to put an end to the practice of coercion of the Crimean residents to serve in the Russian army, including through pressure or propaganda. The draft condemns the denial of access to the Crimean territory of the United Nations Human Rights Monitoring Mission in Ukraine, despite the current mandate of the mission. The next step will be the consideration of the draft resolution at the plenary session of the UN General Assembly in the second half of December 2017, and most importantly, to force the Russian Federation to fully implement it. Eskender Bariyev, chairman of the Crimean Tatar Resource Center and member of the Majlis, commented on the draft resolution approval. There are high hopes that this document will be finally adopted. This resolution has a clear formulation and a clear requirement to observe an interim decision of the International Court of Justice as of the 19th of April 2017. This decision clearly describes the violation of human rights in Crimea and names political prisoners who need to be released. This resolution is of a recommendatory nature, but is another proof of support by most UN member states, and it gives grounds to enhance sanctions against the Russian Federation, said Eskender Bariyev. Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko welcomed the approval of the resolution. Mustafa Jamilev, leader of the Crimean Tatars and member of the Ukrainian Parliament, called the approval of the draft as a great step to deoccupy Crimea.
You are tuned to Radio Ukraine International and Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
The World Bank supports efforts by Ukrainian reformers and reaffirms its commitment to help this country accelerate its growth. On his first visit to Ukraine, World Bank Group President Jim Yong Kim met with President Petro Poroshenko, Prime Minister Volodymyr Groysman, members of the government and representatives of the parliament to discuss ways to reinforce Ukraine's reforms in agriculture, health, pensions, energy and the banking sector and efforts to tackle corruption. Prime Minister Volodymyr Groysman comments. Our priority is to ensure sustainable economic growth in the years to come, and the deepening of our cooperation will strengthen the economic recovery of Ukraine. We also discussed the completion of the full-fledged anti-corruption infrastructure in Ukraine and the establishment of anti-corruption court. We also discussed the land reform and the healthcare reform, and I'm very pleased that we agreed to join our efforts to create a new high-quality healthcare system in Ukraine, said Prime Minister Volodymyr Groysman. In his turn, Jim Yong Kim reaffirmed World Bank's support for Ukraine and its reforms aimed at helping improve people's life and boosting the country's competitiveness on the local and international levels. In his speech, the World Bank Group President particularly focused on the land market reform.
I want everyone to know that we at the World Bank Group and many people observing Ukraine have been very, very impressed with the extent of the reform process that's happened over the last few years. There are several things now that Ukraine has to finish in its reform process for it to be able to reach an all-new level of prosperity, a prosperity that will be shared by all Ukrainians. On land market reforms, I'm here to offer up our support for a reform that will lead to much greater prosperity for all Ukrainians, and done in a way that will protect even the smallest landowners. I want everyone to know that at the World Bank Group, we have done these kinds of reforms in many, many countries all over the world, in every region of the world, and we will bring expertise and experience that will ensure that all Ukrainians benefit from the land market reform process.
Jim Yong Kim, the World Bank Group president, also noted a critical need for the High Anti-Corruption Court to be established in Ukraine.
This is Radio Ukraine International and Ukrainian Diary.
Ukrainian-made Antonov An-132 transport aircraft is showcased at the 2017 Dubai Air Show. The aircraft is an improved version of the Antonov An-32 twin-engined turboprop military transport plane developed jointly by Ukraine and Saudi Arabia. The plane is among 160 of the latest commercial, business and military aircrafts showcased at the aviation fair. This is the second participation of the Antonov aircraft at an air show. It made its debut at the 52nd International Paris Air Show. Acting president of the Antonov State Enterprise, Oleksandr Krivokony, comments on the prospects of joint manufacturing production with Saudi Arabia.
We are now planning to sign a contract for the serial production of the aircraft, including its certification.
In early October, the King of Saudi Arabia designated the land for accommodating the production facilities of a new Antonov plant there, said Oleksandr Krivokony. Another Ukrainian aircraft showcased at the fair is the Antonov An-70, a military freighter which has no equal in most of the capabilities. It is the only aircraft in the world capable of takeoff and landing from short, unpaved runways of 600-700 meters while carrying up to 20 tons cargo.
You are listening to Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week. The National Museum Holodomor Victims Memorial gave a unique opportunity to talk to people who survived the Holodomor famine. This educational and historical center collects and spreads the information about the terrible manufactured famine of 1932-1933. According to the organizers of the Meeting with Holodomor Victims campaign, communication with those who buried the historical memory will help the current generation to prevent such crimes in the future, since Russia, as a successor to the USSR, does not cease its aggressive policy towards Ukraine. The result of this is the annexation of Crimea and the constant support of separatists in the Donbas. Natalia Tkachuk, head of the Cultural and Educational Department of the museum, will tell more. I will start with Mykola Onishchenko, eyewitness of the Holodomor. He survived the famine in the village of Roza, on the outskirts of Berdyansk, Zaporizhia region. This is a unique person. After the Holodomor, he survived the Second World War and the concentration camps. But this did not take away his thirst for life. He got two higher educations and a scientific degree. Even after a difficult evacuation from occupied Luhansk in 2014, he stood strong, although it is morally difficult. And then, during the Holodomor, the Bolsheviks came and took everything.
and now he had to leave his home again because of the occupation of Luhansk by Russian-backed separatists. Other witnesses of the Holodomor were invited to the meeting, Zinoviy Maslo and Tamara Bondarenko. They are from the Kyiv region. So we have witnesses from different regions of Ukraine that came to see us, which made it possible to compare their stories, said Natalia Tkachuk.
And with that, we end Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.